You bishops only make statements as your proof that Jesus Christ is a sovereign pontiff when you give your personal interpretation of what Pope Pius XII meant. However, mere statements are not proof. I have a book titled St. Teresa Returns, A Defense of Fundamental Catholic Teaching by Albert H. Dolan, Order of Carmel. Under Chapter 2, page 18, there is something that is important to understand. Quote, by way of preliminary, let me formulate some principles which will serve as excellent guides whenever in your reading you encounter any objection against religion in any of its departments. First principle. The most important of these guides is this. It is one of the first principles of logic or correct thinking that mere statement is not proof. I wish that all my auditors, who read a great deal, would try to engrave that principle upon their memories. Mere statement is not proof. Modern journalism and current literature abound in statements for which no proof is offered. And if that principle is kept in mind, it will guide you safely over 9/10 of the irreligious material you meet in your reading. I shall not apologize for repeating that principle often during this series of talks. Just what do I mean by mere statement is not proof? Well, let me illustrate. In my talk last week, I proposed some 20 objections to Christianity in the form of statements taken from the New York Press, and they offered no proof for any except one of those statements. To say, quote, the days of dogma are over, unquote, proves nothing. It is a mere statement without proof. I could encounter the statement with another contradicting it, quote, the days of dogma are not over, unquote. Again, the following statement, quote, the idea of God is an antique, the notion of God's originally developed from a primitive fear of the unknown. Psychoanalysis and behaviorism have demonstrated that man is not responsible for his actions, unquote. All these are statements and merely statements proving exactly nothing. But there is one type of smart statement which recurs continually against which permit me particularly to warn you. And that is a statement beginning with the words, quote, no intelligent man nowadays believes, unquote. Modern unbelievers are very fond of this phrase. If they wish to indicate their own private disbelief, they say not, quote, I do not believe in creation or in hell or in morality, unquote. No, they say, quote, no intelligent man nowadays believes in creation, unquote. Or they vary it a bit by saying, quote, every intelligent man knows that man's responsibilities for his actions has long since been disproved, unquote. Or they say, quote, the modern trained mind cannot accept the miracles of Christ, unquote. Do not be disturbed by such statements, my dear friends. They are all violations of the first principle of logic, violations of the first rule of the art of thinking, namely, that mere statement is not proof. The answer to all such objections is the same, namely, prove your statement. When a man says, quote, no intelligent man nowadays believes this or that, unquote, the answer is, quote, you mean your mind cannot believe, for it is simply not true that every trained mind disbelieves. On the contrary, I can give you a formidable list of highly intelligent men of giant intellect who do believe what you deny, unquote. So much for the very important principle to be remembered in all our reading, quote, mere statement is not proof, unquote. So when people make mere statements, either verbally or at least mentally, say, prove it. prove your statement. Unquote from this article from St. Teresa Returns, A Defense of Fundamental Catholic Teaching by Albert H. Dolan. Therefore, please prove your statement that Jesus Christ is a sovereign pontiff. Please show me at least one quote from any pope, the Bible, Council of the Church, Catechism, Canon Law book, saint, or doctor of the Church that says, quote, Jesus Christ is a supreme pontiff, unquote. Or give the quote from any of the above that says, quote, the supreme pontiff, or sovereign pontiff, is the same person as Jesus Christ. Unquote. Bishop Giles, in your letter you have misconstrued and perverted Pope Pius VI's teaching that Jesus Christ is the supreme pastor, and by so doing have attempted to establish and defeat a new argument that I never presented. I am not denying that the adjective supreme is also used to refer to Jesus Christ or Almighty God. Most Catholics learn that truth at a very young age, the day they begin to study the Catechism. The second question in the Catechism asks, quote, who is God? Unquote. The answer says, quote, God is the supreme being, infinitely perfect, who made all things and keeps them in existence. Unquote. I am not asking you bishops to prove that God is the supreme being, or that Jesus Christ is the supreme pastor. I am asking you for the quote from any pope, the Bible, Council of the Church, Catechism, Canon Law book, saint, or doctor of the Church that says, Jesus Christ is the supreme pontiff. Do you agree that if you do not provide this quote, then everyone will know that your statement, quote, Jesus Christ is the supreme pontiff, unquote, is a mere statement without proof. Let us again review a summary from the popes and some other sources already quoted. Every Roman Catholic believes each one of the following truths that I have extracted, although traditionalists and modernists do not believe all these truths. Jurisdiction passes to bishops only through the Roman pontiff. The power of jurisdiction flows to the bishops only through the successor of St. Peter. Such power they certainly did not receive from Jesus Christ. To conserve the unity of the Church, the power of the keys must be passed on through Peter. Jurisdiction to absolve is not conferred by priestly ordination or episcopal consecration. Episcopal jurisdiction has been instituted by Christ in such a manner that each bishop should receive his jurisdiction from the Pope. This jurisdiction the bishop does not obtain through episcopal consecration. The episcopate comes from the hands of Jesus Christ through Peter and his successors. All authority emanates from the Apostolic See. All spiritual authority comes from Peter. We then, both priests and people, have a right to know whence our pastors have received their power, if they claim our obedience without having been sent by the Bishop of Rome. We must refuse to receive them, for they are not acknowledged by Christ as his ministers. They must be as aliens to us, for they have not been sent, they are not pastors. Unquote from the various things I extracted from articles as quoted above. From the statements of you two bishops, as explained in writing, preached in sermons, and told to me on the phone, you must believe that the quotes in the above paragraph cannot be the truth. How can you believe that those popes and spiritual writers wrote the truth and still claim, assert, and argue that all bishops received jurisdiction and authority directly from Jesus Christ and not through a pope? I do not think that you can prove your mere statements, because they are the exact opposite of the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Therefore, do you agree that everyone can correctly conclude that you two bishops did not receive jurisdiction or authority when you were consecrated? It is very important that you provide the quotes that prove your mere statements. Do you agree that if you do not find the quotes and prove that you actually teach the truth, your entire claims to be Roman Catholic bishops automatically collapses, crumbles, and subsides? Father Joseph Noonan, OFM, told me in person that the sovereign pontiff is sometimes Jesus Christ and at other times the Pope. He also said each one must determine if Jesus Christ is the sovereign pontiff by the way it is used in the document. Therefore, is everyone now to do the Protestant thing while they pick and choose when the sovereign pontiff is Jesus Christ or the Pope? You two bishops say that Jesus Christ is the sovereign pontiff, and I have yet to hear or read any statement from you bishops that the Pope is sometimes the sovereign pontiff. Do you teach the same way as Father Joseph, that everyone must pick and choose when the sovereign pontiff refers to the Pope and when it refers to Jesus Christ? Is paragraph 42 of Mystici Corpus Christi the only time that Jesus Christ is the sovereign pontiff? That is indeed very slim pickings, so can you please tell me where else you believe the words sovereign pontiff are used for Jesus Christ? I have never heard of or read from anyone else besides your followers who at any time teach that the sovereign pontiff is the same person as Jesus Christ. Am I correct in stating that you are the ones who invented a new doctrine that has never been heard of before Bishop Vazelis was consecrated? Is it true that you Franciscans might continue to pick and choose when the sovereign pontiff refers to the Pope and when it refers to Jesus Christ? Neither can others stop you from explaining and interpreting paragraph 42 of Mystici Corpus Christi favorable to your claim of ordinary jurisdiction. Nevertheless, Pope Pius XII clearly teaches that you are wrong. In the encyclical letter, Ad Signarum Gentium, His Holiness teaches very plainly, unmistakably, and definitely that, quote, the power of jurisdiction flows to the bishops only through the successor of St. Peter, unquote. The encyclical Ad Apostolorum Principis teaches, quote, jurisdiction passes to bishops only through the Roman pontiff, as we admonished in the encyclical letter, Mystici Corporis. Unquote. Here we have three encyclical letters teaching the Catholic doctrine that the power of jurisdiction passes to bishops only through the Roman pontiff, the successor of Peter. Jesus Christ said, quote, he who heareth you, in this case Pope Pius XII, heareth me. Unquote. Jesus Christ tells us through the encyclical letter Humani Generis that what is expounded in encyclical letters demands consent. Pope Pius XII officially, formally, and authoritatively expounded this matter in encyclical letters. The Holy Father thereby passed judgment and taught Catholics forever after that they must believe that the power of jurisdiction passes to bishops only through the Roman pontiff, the successor of Peter. Living a lie, divinely appointed, intruder, schismatic. Bishop Giles, you wrote the following in your reply to me when explaining the fifth sentence. Quote, are you accusing the Pope of desiring that the whole world live a lie? If the Pope intended to have just taught us that bishops have authority only through and from a Pope, why would he have us then revere him as divinely appointed? Are you suggesting that the Pope would have us believe that he, the Pope, is divine?" Unquote from the letter of Bishop Giles. Do you agree that the calling to the Catholic priesthood is a divine calling? Do you agree that priests must be called by those bishops who are illicit successors of the apostles? Do you agree that the illicit successors of the apostles are only those bishops who are divinely called through the supreme pontiff, who is the Pope? Do you agree that the supreme pontiff receives universal jurisdiction authority to appoint bishops from the divine head, Jesus Christ, at the time that he accepts the papacy? Quote, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," unquote, from St. John chapter 15, verse 16. Do you agree that schismatic bishops sometimes have valid orders? Do you agree that not all bishops who have valid orders are divinely appointed successors of the apostles? You wrote, quote, "Note, not appointed by a pope, but by someone divine, that is, God," unquote. If Jesus Christ appointed every bishop who received valid orders, then would every schismatic and heretical bishop with valid orders also be a successor of the apostles? If not, then how are you a successor of the apostles? What did you receive from an apostle that every schismatic bishop would not receive? And why did you receive it, whereas they would not? Do you teach that every validly consecrated bishop receives directly from Jesus Christ their jurisdiction, authority, and mission? If you answer yes, and that was actually the truth, then many schismatic and heretical bishops would in fact have jurisdiction, authority, and mission in the Church. Do you agree that schismatic bishops who received their orders outside the Church are not the successors of the apostles because they did not receive them through the Pope? It is erroneous, if not heresy, to say that bishops are not appointed by the Pope to their diocese. Do you agree that the papal mandate comes from a Pope? Do you agree that it is the Pope who requires the mandate before illicit consecration can take place? Do you agree that without the papal mandate, no bishop has a diocese or mission in the Catholic Church? To what are Catholic bishops divinely appointed, if not to rule over a portion of the flock, and who determines which portion or diocese he will rule, if not the Pope? Are you actually teaching that it is not the Pope who appoints each bishop to his diocese, but rather Jesus Christ in his person? Let us imagine that we could go back less than 100 years to the time when Pope Pius XI was the sovereign pontiff ruling the Catholic Church and review the records of every diocese throughout the world. Will you not expect to find that every Catholic bishop in each one of those dioceses was appointed by the consent of Pope Pius XI or one of his predecessors? Are you actually teaching that Jesus Christ personally appointed each of those bishops to his diocese and that the popes had absolutely nothing to do with them? That might be your belief, but every Catholic who reads the encyclicals of the popes, studies the catechisms, and who understands what the Catholic Church teaches has no doubt whatever that your doctrine is erroneous.